his jump-off point when he was in Galilee, but now we're in the time that he's traveling from town to town, city to city, performing miracles, performing the things of demon possession, those that are healing in front of him, trying to teach the good news to everyone that will listen. But we see those that are listening sometimes have hardened of hearts. So he teaches them in the parables. And we said last week, what was the parables? A story they can understand. It has what? It has worldly connotations, but with spiritual applications. And it's usually something that they know about. Things that they're familiar with in their time period. We now in this century and the two millenniums past, now we have to understand what it is to be farmers and see those things sown. So he started out with the parable of the sower. And he talked about the different soils being spread. And then he explained to those apostles and disciples what that meant when it came upon the different soils, what that seed was. Remember what he said? What was the seed? The seed was the word. And it landed on the wayside, those pathways that are kind of trampled down. It landed on the rocky places. It landed on the place where the thorns choked him out. And then finally landed on places that resulted in growth and expansion. Some what? Right. Some 20-fold, some 40-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Right. We see that expanse. And do we see that today with each person, that it lands in good heart, in a good soil, that there is growth, right? And then it leads into the growth or the spreading of the seed on the ground. And it talks about, you know, when you put seed out, you don't see all the growth. Some of this growth is internal or under the surface. It's not until what happens in the plant do we see actual growth. It has to penetrate the soil. Then we see the roots, the roots underneath we can't see and see how expansive it is. And it's kind of like trees, right? There's trees that have expanse root system that stand up and some that have superficial root system. And then we saw the parable of the tares where the landowner was putting out the seed. He put out good seed. He went to sleep and didn't see all the growth. But when the growth came and was more mature, they found those working in the field. What was in amongst the good wheat? Weeds, tares. And they said, well, should we pull those tares now, right? Well, what's intertwined right now? Root system. So you're gonna pull those up, you're going to pull up the good. So what was said that Jesus said, well, this is what the landowner told them. Wait until the full maturity, right? The full maturity of the wheat, the full maturity of the tares. And then at that time, there's a separation. And who was separating? Who was doing the actual separation? The angels, right? And when they had the tares, they bundled them up and they threw them in the fire where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, right? So at that time, there was judgment, right? There was judgment on those that were found themselves, the good wheat or the good seed and the good fruit, and those that were not. And then we talked about the parable of the mustard seed. And the seed of the mustard is what? Really big, right? Like a walnut. No, screamingly small. But it's one of those things in the garden. It will grow ever large and will have the birds of the airs and those around it take nest and take hold of it. So we're going to go through the parable of the leaven, the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the parable of the net and the householder. So women know this more than men, right? Or those who bake bread. You know, how many people bake bread anymore? We go to Publix and get bread. But they know this, that we see now. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verses 33 through 34. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 33 through 35. And Jesus told them, and many such parable spake he by the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. And without a parable he spake not unto them, but privately to his own disciples he explained all things. Then let's look at Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 13. If I turn to the right book, it'd be good. Matthew chapter 13, verses 33 through 35. And he says basically the same thing, but he begins, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. All these things spake Jesus in parables unto the multitudes, and without parable spoke he nothing unto them, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. And that was a quote from Psalm chapter 78, verse 2. And so he gives them this story. Well, parable of the leaven. So we put leaven in something. What is it going to do to the whole dough? Permeate through it all. So that we hope that is the same thing with the Word of God, that when you hear the good news, it permeates the whole person, right? Fills us all up. We all have the good news in us. And throughout our connections, we hopefully will spread the same thing. Let's turn again to where we read Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Romans chapter 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept in silence through eternal times, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all the nations unto obedience of faith. Now at this time, there were still people hearing the things that are coming straight from Jesus' word, but were they understanding it? No, because even some of his closest disciples and apostles were asking Jesus what he meant by some of those things. And the scribes and Pharisees certainly weren't ready to listen to what he had to tell them. They were trying to discredit him every chance they got. Let's now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And Paul writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, we speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world, who are coming to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory. Paul was telling them the same thing. Hey, there's going to things that can be explained to you or told to you that the rest are not going to understand. Those around about. It's not human knowledge. It's not human understanding. It's the spiritual application of things that Jesus was taught. Now, we've seen the seed. We've seen those things talking about growth. And now he starts to turn a little bit to talk about hidden things or hidden treasures or things that are priceless. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44, and read that passage. And again, it's doing the contrast. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and his joy he goeth and selleth all he hath and buyeth that field. Now, tradition in that day was whatever was on the property was his if you owned that land. It's kind of like that today. If you find oil on a piece of property and it's your property, you get the use of the minerals and rights to it. So he finds this thing that was precious, more precious than this person thought of anything else, because he did what with everything he had? Right, so this was more important than anything else he possessed. And does that have an application to us today on what the word is, means to us? It should be more than anything physically we can possess. And then he actually has that next application again, and still Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like unto man that is a merchant seeking goodly pearls. And having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now we think about commodities today even, things that we could buy and potentially appreciate. You know, we think about homes, we think about other things like that. But we see that this person saw something of such great value that the rest of the things he owned didn't matter until he possessed that. Well, what's similar about both of these parables? Something of value is more important than anything anything that he could find, right? And one was found by accident, he came upon it. And the other was someone was searching for it, right? Because it said in the second one, the man was looking for these godly goods, these goodly pearls. I was looking for something precious. And the other person said he just happened to find it on this piece of property, on this land. Does it matter how we become children of God? As long as we're doing the right scriptural way, right? Repentance, baptism, right? But does it matter if someone finds us and gives us the word? We trip over it or we actively seek it? Are there examples of that in the New Testament? Okay, well, let's turn to John chapter 4. Just think about John chapter 4. Where was Jesus going? He was going through the land of Samaria. He came to a well, and who did he find? He's found a woman, right? Was she seeking Jesus? Nope, she wasn't seeking Jesus. She wasn't even seeking the word, right? She happened to come across him, and he gave her what? Something of value. Why did she think it was something of value? Because what did she do right away? She went into the village. She told everyone there, and everyone came to hear Jesus. And then just like them, they weren't seeking Jesus either, but they told her, "We now believe, not because of what you said, but because what we've heard and saw." And then think about in the book of Acts. There was someone going back to his country. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was studying pretty intently. He was looking for the word and understanding. He didn't have a teacher, but God gave him a teacher to bring that word to him. But he was studying. He was seeking to know knowledge. Someone came to him through the Holy Spirit. And who was that again? Who came and talked to him and brought him the rest of his understanding and what he needed to do. So there's examples of people who weren't looking for God. And then there was some actively looking for God in the scriptures and would give it more understanding. What's Paul's or Saul's conversion like? Was he actively seeking Jesus? Sure he was. What was he actively seeking to do? That's right. He was actively seeking to persecute those who believed in the way. He wasn't trying to be a follower of Christ. He was trying to persecute all those. And if he had his way, he could eliminate all this sect, right? The people of the way. But he was enlightened. He had his eyes opened. He had his eyes opened. He was blind for 3 days, but he had his eyes opened. And did it have a dramatic impact upon him? It did. It had a dramatic impact on him to where he changed his point of view. So we see those examples throughout the scriptures that talk about, hey, different ways this thing of great price comes to us. So like I said, what was the difference? Well, one was actively seeking. One just came upon this great price. And we talked about the difference. And so what takeaway lesson can we take away that applies to us? Does it matter if we bring it to someone or they actively seek it? Ultimately, as long as we're what? Right. Following Christ's words, following being diligent students, being his disciples and showing that way. And then taking our light and hiding under the basket, right? Put it on the lampstand. Put it up high so all can see. Yes. And so we hope that that lesson applies to us. You know, I think of my own conversion. I thought I was a Christian. I didn't know all the ramifications to be a Christian, but I then was persuaded to at least start thinking and looking at that direction, and then opening a word and trying to, just like those in Samaria, now that you said that, but now I believe because I have seen and was able to follow the path. So staying in Matthew chapter 13, we see the parable of the net, the drag line. Jesus tells them again, just after this other parable, and again, here's another, again, the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. Now, if you're not a fisherman, you're not sure what a net does. So I'll throw a cast net, and when you throw it out, you hope you get the right kind of fish in it, right? And I'll try to do things like throw some enticement out there, so what I call chum or bait, so they'll come a little bit closer, and I'll throw this net out. That this net was cast and gathered every kind, which was filled and drew up on the beach, and then they sat down and gathered the good unto the vessels, but the bad they cast away. So shall it be in the, what? End of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's going to be a sorting, there's going to be a gathering up, there's going to be a judgment, and there's going to be a judgment of who is the good ones and who is the bad ones, are all gathered together. That's similar to the wheat and the tares, right? The wheat and the tares, they were all gathered up. They were separated. Here in the net, there's no discriminatory fashion. All are gathered up, but who's going to separate and sort? The angels are going to sort and separate. Now that talks about a what? There's a judgment. There's a judgment of what is good and what is bad. So there's a good and there's a bad. There's going to be righteous and unrighteous. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there's going to be celebrating and singing together. So it didn't matter who was together. There wasn't a random sorting. It was a purposeful sorting. And so we see that when this net is cast. And it seems to be something that's done purposefully. Because it wasn't just, well, we cast it out and hope for the best. We cast it out, it's filled, it's drawn up. And now there's a judgment or a sorting between the two. And it shows this contrast. Just like I said, the contrast between the wheat and the tares is contrasted that. And the separating from the good from the evil. And we see those that are cast out are not going to have a chance for repentance. They can't change once they've been, judgment is, so at the time of judgment, at the time of sorting, there's no change. I can't go from one basket to the next. My basket has kind of been chosen for me at that time. So I want to make sure I'm in the good basket, right? You know, we talk about fish. It's like, okay, the good fillets are going over here. And I get that too, even when I throw out a cast net, it's like, okay, so here's the bait I want, here's the bait I want, here's the bait I don't want. But usually those get to go back into the water. The other ones get to stay with me and we do other things with it. But they're not talking about that. They're talking about the actual judgment time. That this time is now set. When you're slotted, your deeds, your path has been chosen. And God said that the angels were going to then change this at the end of the age. Staying in Matthew. Matthew 51 through 53. And it says again, Does it say again? He asked him a question. What does he ask him? Have you understood all the things I've talked to you about? Have you understood the parable of the precious pearls, the precious piece of land, or that precious thing that person found? Did you understand the separating and sorting? Did you understand the wheat and the tares? Did you understand the mustard seed? Did you understand all that I have told you? And they told him what? Yes. Because what was he preparing them for? Right. They now have examples that they can teach. You know, Jesus told us these parables. These are parables we're now sharing. So we now can use those as examples in teaching people when it comes to that application. So we now need to go, when do I use the parable of the wheat and the tares? When do I use the parable of the net, the drag line? When do I use the parable of the mustard seed? When will that fit? That's what we have to figure out somewhat. We have to figure out how that goes. Because he's also telling them, well, I have prepared you, right? I have prepared you, he says in verse 52. And he said unto them, therefore, every scribe who hath been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. What was he really telling them? You're going to be the next teachers. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm preparing you. Now, they don't know when he's leaving them. He's going to tell them again that there's a time that he's going to be leaving them. But he's preparing them to be able to stand on their own and teach. All right? Every one of us is a teacher. And we're all teachers in some respect or not, whether we're standing right here or whether we're standing in a classroom or whether we're talking to someone or how we live, we're teaching others around about us. And hang on, let me get that point. And all of us use things that we know, all right? When I was talking about the drag line, what did I use? Things I know. I throw a cast net. I know how that works. I know how the cast net works. I sometimes bring in things of what my profession was, right? Where it's applicable, right? But we all bring in things that we add when we teach. So when we become teachers, we're staying within ourselves, but we're using the things we know and also the things we have learned. Okay, Daryl, you had it.
Yeah, obviously all these parables,
anywhere
can be broken down, there's all kinds of stuff that we can get from them. But I think it's also important for us to look at the overall
big picture.
They will hang on to it with a couple of those parables. And then I think some of these others where they're talking about the tares and everything else, he's trying to get them to, your job is to go out there and spread and sow the seed and get it started. The harvest is going to be done. It's not your job to go out there and harvest. And so what we need to learn from that, I think what we need to learn and what he was wanting them to learn, that you get the seed started, you let God provide the increase, and when the time comes to separate out, because sometimes we can destroy Christians. We try to jump all over them when they're not firmly rooted yet. We start getting all onto them. All of a sudden, next thing you know, we're out there tearing the tares out of the field, and the plants that are supposed to be growing get damaged. And I think the overall of all of these parables is that's what he's trying to get through to them, is what your job is to do and how you need to go about it. Like I said, obviously, in all the parables, there's things that we can teach. If you're ever asked to teach a lesson and you're not prepared for it, just grab a parable. You can make a lesson off any parable. But I think we also need to look at the overall picture of exactly what's going on here. Right here, he's trying to get his disciples to understand. Go and help them to learn the value of what accepting Christ does for you. If they get that value, they'll hang on to it. And then realize that as new people are grabbing hold of that, be careful about continue to teach them, continue to let them grow before we go uprooting.
And you're right. I think the two parables on the precious pearl and that precious piece of land or the thing that he found on the land, that the gospel and the message of the gospel is something so precious, we don't have anything we possess that would be more important than that. And as far as pointing out that, yes, the judgment time will come, that is not our concern. That'll be the concerns of the angels to make that judgment. And hopefully we have brought the message loud and clear out that this is something you want to seek. But what, of nothing else we learned today, we remember the world is, right? What are they not doing? They're not seeking. They're not trying to find the truth. The truth is in front of them. It's easily to understand. It's right here. But what would they rather do? We see this all the time. What would quote, Christians rather do than study the Word? I want to be entertained. I want someone else who has the education. They have some credentials behind their name with all this alphabet soup, so they must know more than me. So they're going to tell me what I need to know. I don't need to spend time in the Word, because spending time in the Word is, to them, it seems unprofitable. But what was the parable about? It was profitable. It's more precious than anything, spending time in the Word. And trying to then move forward and realize there is a judgment coming. That's not your role. The role of the angels will be for the judgment. Your role is to spread. Your role is to nurture. Your role is to plant these seeds out, even how small and minute, and God will give the increase. Because you never know our influence somewhere by saying something may have something germinated somewhere else. And eventually, you may see that growth and say, hey, I see this seed germinating. But you're right, I don't want to prune too soon, you know, because there's not substantial root. I want to keep nurturing and building up. Just like small plants, you know, you put something in the pot and see it grow. You know, it's not mature yet. I still got to make sure that I'm nurturing and protecting it from the elements to where it can finally get hold and continue to grow and move. So we draw the conclusions from Christ. What is he trying to give big picture on? Big picture is, what's the gospel? It's our foundation, right? It's something that should be grasped hold of and should be cherished as something precious. We, and given, right? Right, given freely, shared freely. Does everybody deserve to hear the word? Is there anyone we should keep it from? Right. I mean, there are people you think, oh, well, you know, it's probably going to be a waste of time if I talk to them. They don't look like they really have the heart for this. Is that our decision to make? It's really whose decision to make if they listen, to me. Right. I'm going to, just like when he tells them, hey, you know, you may go to a town and you may not get any receptive interest from that, and they may just hear the word. Well, if they're not interested and listen, then move on, shake the dust off your feet and shoes and walk to the next town. You had a comment, Daryl? None of us deserves God's grace, but I mean, did we deserve being hearing it? Yeah.
It's a matter of need. Yeah. Everybody needs to hear it. And then when we couple that with the fact that Christ died for everybody, so that means everybody that I can share the gospel with, at least for that person, Christ's sacrifice was in vain. Now, I can't do anything about making that person obey, but I can do everything I can to make them see the value of what's there.
Right.
And allow them to act. Should be recognizing Christ died for everybody. God wants every soul in heaven. And it's our job to do what we can to influence those people to take advantage of that. And everybody needs that.
And we would hope everyone would see the value in that. And certainly those that we work with, those that we have influence of, those of our secular families, those that are round about us. But we see a lot of times that's not the case. But all we can do is we Keep spreading that seed. Keep spreading that seed. And hopefully we see that someday, that germination and growth. And unlike plants, you know, if you plant a plant that's the same plant and you plant them next to each other, they're probably going to grow at the same rate. But we all have what? We have all different growths. We all have different focuses. We all grow at different speeds or mature at different rates. But you're right. God's grace, I didn't do anything to deserve that. But now as a child of God, I can at least go out and spread the word, because whoever's going to listen will listen. And wherever it's going to grow and germinate, it will germinate. And we'll continue that growth and continue those things. So we see the overall lessons of the parables, the overall big picture. Jesus is telling them things that they're going to understand. People who don't want to listen to Jesus are not going to understand. They're not going to find it. They're not going to seek it. Their hearts are hardened. Their ears have become dull. Their understanding or perception has gone away. Isaiah quoted that in his gospel, and then it's been, you know, quoted in the ones that we talked about earlier. And we see that continual theme of trying to move them along. And Jesus is now, hey, this is my time of teaching those around us, showing the miracles, but also building up the apostles and his immediate disciples so then they can carry on his footsteps. They can carry on the message. They can continue on as he's going to, you know, just in a little while, give them a limited commission and to see what they can do. Well, Sunday is Daryl Goolsbee is going to start our next section in the Gospels. So he'll have our next couple lessons. I don't know if it'll be three or four lessons. It's two lessons listed on our thing, but it could be four class periods. And then after that, Mike will do another couple class periods. And so we kind of come to the conclusion of the parables. We kind of finish that up. And we've kind of gone through all of those sections that I have. I appreciate you guys listening to me intently. You have any other questions or comments? Did Chuck, did you want to have a comment? We have a few more minutes, so we have time. Okay. Okay, all right, I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody's input. I appreciate everybody's kind interaction with me when we're doing these classes. It certainly helps as a teacher that you have such good interactions. And I'll have to confess, my notes, I left at home. I didn't want to say that at the beginning just to get any sympathy or anything. But yeah, I had a whole bunch of pages of notes. Luckily, I had the PowerPoint, so it helped clue me in because I wrote that too. So I kind of remember some of those passages as how we went. But it's kind of like, sometimes you just got to do the best you can, right? Do the best you can. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.